Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Shlomo Perlstein. Maseches Yevamos has been dedicated in honor of Rabbi Aaron Kaufman, Rosh Yeshivas Ateres Shmuel of Waterbury.
Daf Tzadik Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara continues explaining the Mishnah. The Mishnah lists several knosos that Chazal canceled this woman who married Shaloi Kedin based on false item. And the Mishnah continues. Hoysa Bas Yisrael, if she was a Bas Yisrael, Nifsala min HaKuhuna, she cannot marry a Kohen because she was Nival to a man that she's ushered to be Nival to. She has a din of a Zayna. So the Gemara asks, Pshita, it's a davar pashut that she's ushered to marry a Kohen afterwards. So the Gemara answers, the Chiddush is what the Mishnah continues to say, that Bas Levi min HaMaisa, if she's the daughter of a Levi, she's ushered to eat Maisa. That's the Chiddush in the Mishnah. And because of that, the Mishnah says also that she's a Zayna and she's ushered to marry a Kohen. Now the Gemara asks, that's not the case. There's a braisa that says mefurish that a levia that was captured and she was nival or bilas nus, that she does get meiser and she eats meiser rishon. So how could the Mishnah say over here that this woman married like a din, she's forbidden to eat meiser? So the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Sheshes Knas. Rav Sheshes says our Mishnah is different. Our Mishnah is a knas. Chachamim wanted to be machmer on her that she should be careful not to make a mistake and marry Shalai Kedin, so the Chum canceled her and said that she can't eat Maisa Rishon. That's the Gemara. The reason a Bas Levia cannot eat Maisa Rishon is a Knas. Now Tosfos asks Akasha, why do we say it's a Knas? Why doesn't the Gemara answer that it's going according to a Meir that holds that Maisa Rishon is usher to a Zar? We learned in the previous Perek that a Zar, according to a Meir, may not eat Maisa Rishon. So therefore Tosfos asks, why don't we say, since she's nival, a bia that's usher to her, she should have a din of a zayna, just like a zayna may not eat truma, the same way Maisa Rishon, according to Remeir, may not be eaten by a zayna, just as Remeir learns that Maisa Rishon is usher to a zar from truma, he compares Maisa Rishon to truma, the same way, let him compare Maisa Rishon to truma, to say just like truma is usher to a zayna, the same way Maisa Rishon is usher to a zayna. So Tosfos says you can't answer that. Because if you made such a limud, the limud would go like this. Just like truma is usher to a zayna if she was nival to somebody that passes her from kahuna, the same way Maiser Rishon is usher to a zayna that was nival a biya that passed her to leviya, and there is no such halacha that a woman who is a zayna is passed to marry a levi. Therefore, we can't make a comparison between truma and Maiser, that just like truma is usher to a zayna, same way Maiser Rishon is usher to a zayna, that doesn't go. Now Tosfos carries the argument even further. Tosfos says the braisa that says that a leviya that was captured or nival a Bilas Nus is mutter to eat Maisa Rishon is obviously going according to Rav Meir and not the Chachamim, because according to the Chachamim, what's the Chiddush? It's Pashut. There never is any limitation halachically who can eat Maisa Rishon. Be'achreach, the Braisa that says that a Leviya that was Nival a Bilas Nus, that she becomes a Zayna, may eat Maisa Rishon is going according to Rav Meir. So you see, even Rav Meir says there's no Din Zayna Legabi Maisa Rishon. So it must be that when it says in the Mishnah that a woman who is married, Shalai Kedin, based on false eidus, may not eat a Maisa Rishon, that has to be usher only because it's a knas. And that goes even according to Remeir, because even Remeir holds there's no psul zayna by Maisa Rishon. Now Tosfos says more than that. The Mishnah may be only going according to Remeir, because according to the Chum, it's Pashit that she may eat Maisa Rishon. We never find any limitation. There's no Isur Zaris on Maisa Rishon according to the Chachamim. So Be'achreach, when the Mishnah says that she's forbidden to eat Maisa Rishon, it must be going only according to Rav Meir. And still, the Gemara says that it's only a Knas and not the Ikar Adin. According to Rav Meir, we can understand the Knas, that the Chachamim gave her a Din Zara. According to the Chachamim, the Knas doesn't make any sense. How could we give her a Din Zara to forbid her to eat Maisa Rishon when a Zara herself may eat Maisa Rishon? Be'achreach, it's going to Rav Meir that says a zar is also by Maisa Rishon, and therefore the Chum canceled her and said she has a din of a zar. The Mishnah is going exclusively according to Rav Meir. Tosfos offers a second mahalach and says it could be no. The Mishnah is going even according to the Chachamim. Although the Chachamim say that Maisa Rishon is mutter to a zar, over here they canceled her that they can't give her Maisa Rishon. Not that she can't eat it, she could eat it. There's never a Isser Zoros for Maisa Rishon, but to give her the Maisa Rishon, the Chum canceled her that they should not give her Maisa Rishon because this way she'll be more careful and she'll make a more of a diuk before she gets married. So again, in Tosfos there are two mahalchim. Either it's going according to Rav Meir that the Chum canceled her and gave her Din Zara and she's also to eat Maisa Rishon. That's only according to Rav Meir, not according to the Chachamim. Or the Mishnah is going also according to the Chachamim, and it's not that they answered her from eating Maaser Rishon according to the Chachamim, they just answered her from getting Maaser Rishon. But of course, Achila is never Aser because it's never Aser to Azara either. The Rambam has a third Mahalach. The Rambam in Perak Aleph, Halacha Beis, Milchas Maaser writes that Maaser Rishon has no Kedusha. And therefore, it's Mutar Luzarim. The Rambam passes clearly like a Chachamim. Yet the Rambam writes that in the same Halacha, if a woman married Shiloh Kedin, the Chum canceled her, and they asked her to eat Truma. So we see that even according to the Chachamim, it's Shayach HaKnas, that she shouldn't eat Truma. Taisus just said that according to the Chachamim, we're not going to ask her from eating, we'll just ask her from getting Truma, that Yisrael cannot give her Truma to be out of the midst of Nesinas Maaser Rishon. The Rambam takes that a step further and says, even according to the Chachamim, it's Shayach HaKnas that she may not eat Maaser Rishon. The Mari Korkus explains the Knas, according to the Rambam, that they cancelled her more than Azara. Azara may eat Maaser Rishon. Here they cancelled her more than Azara. This way she'll be more careful and make a more serious daika uminsava. The Mari Korkus offers another understanding in the Rambam that really it doesn't make sense to cancel her from eating Maaser Rishon. Azara is not also in eating Maaser Rishon, and she can't be worse than Azara. The Chomim made a Knas that she shouldn't eat Maaser Rishon in this way. People will be careful not to give her the Maaser Rishon, which is really the ikur goal of the Knas. Now, in this halacha in the Rambam, we find that the Rambam argues another point with Taisus. Taisus says clearly that even according to Remeir, there is no psul zayna to aser a woman who was nival l'pasala from eating Maaser Rishon. In the Rambam, we see not like that. The Rambam writes that Maaser Rishon doesn't have kedusha, and therefore it's mutar to azar, and therefore the Rambam continues. If a woman was nival to a pasala, she's a zayna, there's no iser for her to eat Maaser Rishon. It's mashma that if Maaser Rishon did have kedusha, it would be shayach to asa her from eating Maaser Rishon if she had a din of a zayna. It's mashma from the Rambam, the only reason there's no psul zayna by Maaser Rishon is because we pass like a chomim. If we pass like a mayor, however, it's meduyuk in the Rambam that there would be a psul zayna. And Rav Shachar Avi Ezri explains the lumdus in the machlokes of the Rambam and Taisus. Taisus understands that there's no psul zayna by Maaser Rishon because the gedder of psul zayna, according to Taisus, is that she becomes a zara. There's a mefurish gemara in Masechta Becheiros daf mem zayin that if a kohenes was nival l'pasala, if she has a bechor afterwards, the child has to make pidyon haben, even though his mother is a kohenes. Why? Because once she's a zayna, she has a din of a zara. And therefore, she's not a kohenes anymore. Her child needs pidyon haben. Masha'en kein a levio that was nival to a pasala. When she has a child afterwards, the child is still potter from pidyon haben as if she were regular levio. Why? Because even if she became a zayna, there's no psul zarus by levio. There's no way to become a zara from being a levi. Now, Shach proves from several places that the psul letruma by a zayna is not because she's a zayna, rather because she's a zayna, she becomes a zara. And if she becomes a zara, she's also tea truma like any other zara. It's meduyik in several places like that. Therefore, according to Taisus, it's theoretically impossible to aser a leviyah who becomes a zayna from eating Maaser Rishon, since there's no din zaros by leviyah. Therefore, she can't not become possible from eating Maaser Rishon. However, by truma, when she becomes a zayna, she becomes a zara automatically. And therefore, she's also to eat truma like any other zara. The Rambam, however, learns that the reason a zayna may not eat truma is not just because she became a zara. There's an inherent shame psul of zayna from eating truma, independent of the shame zarus that comes along with being a zayna. V'haraya, if a woman is the wife of a kohen and she's a kohenes, and she was nival l'pasala, the halacha is she may not eat truma because she became a zayna. Rav Shach asks, Bishlama, she can't eat the truma because of her own yichus, because she's a kehenes. She lost that. She became a zara once she became a zayna. But let her eat al tkinyan kasboy of her husband, like any zara that married a kohen, who's mutter to eat truma. It's mutter from the fact that she can't eat truma even al being married to her husband in her husband's chus. We see from there that it's a paslus. She may not eat truma not only because she's a zara. The shame zayna itself carries with it a paslus to eat truma. Therefore, the Rambam holds that shame paslus can carry over to Leviyah also. True, to make a zara, if that were the only reason she cannot eat truma because she becomes a zar, that cannot carry over to Leviya. There's no psul zaros by Leviya. But since, besides the din zaros that comes about by being a zayin, there's also a shame psul by itself, shame zayin is a apostles from eating truma, that may carry over to Maisa Rishon, and therefore the Rambam holds that a Leviya, according to a mayor, who became a zayin, may not eat Maisa Rishon, just as a kehanus who became a zayin may not eat truma. The Gemara continues that the Mishnah says, another knas that Chazal counts in this woman is that a bas kain minat truma, bas kain may not eat truma. So the Gemara says, it's talking about even truma derabanan. Rashi explains, why does the Gemara say that? Because if it was talking about truma deraisa, it's a davar pashut. If they cancel her on meiser, for sure they'll cancel her on truma. So therefore, if the Mishnah is telling us a chiddush, it must be that even truma derabanan is aser for this woman to eat. Now, it comes out of Rashi, a tremendous chiddush. Rashi understands that the reason she may not eat truma deraisa is because they cancelled her, and not that she became a zayna. Now really, Rashi in the Mishnah is also mefurish that she may not eat truma because it's a knas, and he doesn't say that she's a zayna or she's nival al apostola. Rashi clearly learns the whole reason she may not eat truma, whether it's the araisa or the rabbanon, is only because of a knas. The Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva are all upset at Rashi. They say clearly that the reason she may not eat truma, if it's truma deraisa for sure, because either she has a din of a zayna, or if you're going to say there's no din zayna ba'inis, she's pasul from eating truma because it says ki siel ishzar. In the Gemara Dashans, if she's nivala la pasala, she may not eat truma. But the isra for her to eat truma deraisa is an isra deraisa, not an isra derabanan, not a knas. Now the Aruch Lener explains that Shitas Rashi is that the limud, that someone who's nivala l'pasala is also to eat truma, is a derivative of the iser of zayna. It's not a separate psul. It's a psul zayna. Now since there's a machlekes on daf nun vav amud beis, whether a woman who is nivala ba'inis to a pasala has a din zayna, Rashi's going according to the Shita that there's no din psul zayna ba'inis. Therefore, just as there's no din zayna b'ayinayinus, there won't be the psul of nivala l'posula that we learn from the pasuk of kisi elish zar b'ayinayinus. Therefore, midiraisa, this woman may eat truma. She has a din of an ayinus. Midirabonim, they cancelled her to make sure that she's going to be seriously daiko minsava. That's why Rashi learns in the Mishnah and on our Gemara over here that the reason she may not eat truma is only midirabonim because of the knas. The Gemara continues, it says in the Mishnah, that Achiv Shalzev, Achiv Shalzev, Cholitzin of Leim Biyadmin. If the first husband died, and the second husband died, your brothers do Chalitza, they don't do Yibum. And the Gemara explains why not. The brother of the first husband doesn't do Yibum because the Chomim consented that she may not be Misyabim to his brother. Chalitza, yes, Dumdi Araisa, she's Ashes Achiv. Regarding the second husband, the brother does chalitza midirabanan because it looks like she was married to the second husband also. He doesn't do yibum because there's no chi of yibum, not midiraisa, not midirabanan. There is no din of eshes achov here. So therefore, the chum said that he doesn't do yibum at all. He's not allowed to marry her. And he does chalitza because she looks like the eshes achiv of the second husband too. Now the Marsha asked the kasha on this. According to Rashi, we only cancelled her that she has to get a get from the second husband, because Shemu Yoimru Gerizev and Asazeh. People will think that the first husband divorced her, and the second husband really married her, and if she goes out without a get, people will say that an Ashes Ish can marry La Alma without a get. If there's no such a chashash, they weren't geyser to say that she looks like an Ashes Ish. Therefore, the Marsha asks, why does the brother of the second husband not do Yibum? The male, the brother of the first husband, the Chachamim didn't allow him to do Yibum because people will say, it looks like Reuven divorced this woman, Shimon married her, then Shimon died, and the brother of Reuven is doing Yibum, which was really just being Pagei Be'eshes Achiv Shalei B'makim Mitzvah. There's no mitzvah anymore for him to do Yibum as they were divorced before she married Shimon. At least that's what people are going to think. People will understand that the brother of the first husband is doing Yibum on Grushas Achiv, which is a Chiyuv Karis. But the brother of the second husband What could possibly be wrong? What mistake can people make if he does Yibum? What chashash Shema Yemru is there? And if there's no chashash of Shema Yemru, people will make a mistake. We would not answer her, as Rashi explains on Daf Pei Tes. There's no mistake that can come out of the brother of the second husband doing Yibum. Either she's married to him, and he's really doing Yibum, or if people understand that she wasn't married to him, so it's them starting a marriage from fresh. It's not all Yibum. It's not a regular marriage. Why does the Gemara forbid her to be misyavim to the brother of the second husband? So the Marshal really brings some mefarshim that explain that when it says that the brother of the second husband doesn't do Yibum, it's talking about that the first husband didn't die yet. Therefore, his mamash being pageya ba'eshes ish. And that's why he can't do Yibum. Not because of any chashash of Shema Yemru or any gzeir that the Chabim made. However, the Marashah proves from the Gemara that's not the case. It's talking about that both the first husband and the second husband died. So the Marashah answers, true, in regards to being mechayev a get and the like, there won't be a gzeir, there won't be a knas, unless there's some chashash of Shema Yemru, people might come to the wrong conclusions and say that she's an Eishes Ish that's going out without a get. People might say that he's machzer grushasai. Therefore, the Chachamim cancelled different knasos that she has to get a get from her second husband, or that she can't go back to her first husband because people say he's being machzer grushasai. That's only by something that's not a bia itself. However, by yibum, where it's bia alone, over there the Chachamim can cancel even without any gzeira of shema yomru that people make a mistake. Bia is the ikur iser, as the Gemara says on our Amid. Therefore, the Chum saw it fit to cancel her to be misyabim to the brother of the second husband, even if there is no chash of Shema Yoimro. The Karanayir answers a different answer. The Karanayir answers that just as we find that if a bayil of an Ashes Ish that's usher for this woman to marry went ahead and married her Afal Pikein Shalaykidin, if he dies, then his brother may not do Yibum. Why? The Yerushalmi says, since she's usher to the husband, she's usher to the brother. Yibum comes mikayach the brother. So if she's usher to the husband, she definitely will be usher to the brother of the husband. Therefore, the brother of the second husband may not do Yibum because she's usher to her second husband. Als a boil of an Eishes Ish, the same way she's usher to his brother, and therefore the Chum said he cannot do Yibum. However, the words of the Keren Ayur, L'chayra, are a very big chiddush. That makes sense to say that the brother is also to do Yibum when she's usher to the husband. The brother of the husband can't be better than the husband himself. That makes sense when it's really Yibum. When there's a din Eishes Achiv, there's a Zika of Yibum. So we could say the Zika became usher because if she's usher to the husband, she's definitely usher to the brother. However, over here, she never was the wife of the second husband. Chazal only said she looks like his wife in the case of Shema Yemru. Chazal said he has to give a get because Shema Yemru, it looks like an Eishes Ish goes out la'alma without a get. But if there's no chashash of Shema Yemru, the Chachamim did not say that she's considered really an Eishes Ish to the second husband. Therefore, it's not an Yibum Bechlal. When the second brother marries her, it doesn't work with the dynamic of Yibum. It's a new marriage. So the Karen Ayer's Teretz, that she's usher to the brother of the second husband because she's usher to the second husband himself, just like the brother of a bayil is usher to do Yibum if the bayil went ahead and married the woman that became a saita through him. The chayr is not a comparison. Over there is a real zika. Over there is a real isra on this brother because she was usher to the husband. That carries over to the brother. But here, there's no zika, there's no real din eishes achiv to transfer the isra she had to the second husband onto this brother. It would be a new marriage. We're geyser that she looks like an Eishes Ish to the second husband sometimes. True, but that's only if it's the chashash Shema Yemru. Here there's no chashash Shema Yemru. Unless we explain the Karen Ayra to mean that Shema Yemru, the brother of a boil, may do Yibum if we were to allow the brother of the second husband to do Yibum also. However, the Karen Ayra is not mashma, that's what he meant. The Rashash has a very simple mahalach in the Gemara, and therefore is able to bypass this kasha. When the Gemara says that there's no Yibum by the brother of the second husband, it doesn't mean it's usher for him to be Miyabim. What the Gemara means is there is no dynamic of Yibum. If he is boil her, he's not going to be able to be kind to her against her will. He's not going to be kind to her b'shogeg. It doesn't mean it's usur for him to do yibum. It means yibum doesn't work by the brother of the second husband. If he does yibum, it doesn't pater her tzara from him midrabanan. It has no hilchas yibum. It's like a new marriage. And when it says achiv shalsheni doesn't do yibum, it doesn't mean he can't do yibum. It means yibum is non-existent in this relationship, and therefore all the ramifications of saying that there is no dynamic of yibum apply to this relationship. But the Mishnah does not mean to tell me that it's usur for the brother of the second husband to marry his wife. That's not like the Marsha, who understands that in the Mishnah it says an isser for the brother of the second husband to marry this woman. Towards the bottom of the Amud, the Gemara brings Shitas Reb Shimon that holds that if there were two eidim that were made that the husband died, she doesn't have all these knasos. She was an einus, might have a little mevad. She had every right to rely on these eidim. She's considered an einus gamur, and therefore we don't give her all the knasos. She may return to her first husband. A machlekes ensues between the Amayroim afterwards whether the Chachamim are made to the Svara, or the Chachamim hold, even if there's two Eidim and she had a right to rely on them, we don't say, may have a little mevar, what could she have possibly done? Rather, we say that she still has all the knossos that the Chachamim were masakein for a woman who marries based on the testimony of one Eid. Now, in Amud Beis, the Gemara brings a raya that we don't say the svara of may have a little mevad, and she's not considered an einus gamur, from the case where the sofer wrote a get, and the sofer improperly dated the get to the malchus of a kingdom that he shouldn't have written in the get. Or they were in Mizrach and he wrote they were in Ma'ariv, or they were in Ma'ariv and he wrote they were in Mizrach. Such a get is possible, and if the woman received such a get and she went ahead and married another man, she has all the knosses that the Mishnah mentions by us, and Teitzim Mizeh Mizeh. She has to leave her second husband, then she cannot go back to her first husband. V'chol adrachim u'eluba, and all the different knosses that the Mishnah mentions are applicable to her. The Gemara asks, if you say the svara of May have a little mevad, if we say when she really didn't do anything wrong, she's considered an einus and we don't give her the knosses, over here, what'd she do wrong? She trusted the cipher. The cipher made a mistake. What could she have done to be more careful? Therefore, by the fact that we say that she still gets all the knosses, it's obvious that the Chachamim argue and do not hold with the svara of May have a little mevad. The Chachamim hold that even if there were two eidim that came and she had absolutely every reason to rely on them, she still doesn't have a din of an einus and she gets the knosses of Teitzim Mizeh Mizeh and everything else that the Mishnah mentions. So the Gemara answers no. There's no raya that the Chachamim don't hold of the svara of Mayhev Lola Mevat. There's no svara the Chachamim can't send, even in a case where she had every reason, every right to believe that they're saying the truth, or to aid them. Over here, she didn't have every right to rely on the sefer. She should have read the get herself and been more careful. Since she was a bit callous, she was a bit not careful, the Chachamim saw it fit to cancel her. But there's no raya that if there were two eidim that were made that she's mutter to marry, that the Chachamim will cancel her in such a case. Now on the halacha of Hayu b'Mizrach l'kasa b'Ma'ariv, he was in Mizrach and he wrote that they were in Ma'ariv. According to the Rivan that Taisus brings, it's going that on the husband, that the husband was b'Mizrach and the Sefer wrote that the husband was b'Ma'ariv. Taisus asks, the Gemara in Gittin Daf Pei says Mefurish that the Mishnah is going on the Sefer. Because if it's going on the husband, the Mishnah in the Sefer, which is actually brought down later on in the Amud over here, says, Shino, Shem Iroi, Shem Iro. If the Sefer made a mistake, he wrote the wrong city of the husband or the wrong city of the wife, the get is possible. So therefore, when it says, Ha'eva Mizrach Lekasa V'Ma'ariv, when he was in Mizrach and he wrote that they were in Ma'ariv, cannot mean that he's improperly writing the location of the husband. That we know from the Sefer of Shino, Shem Iroi, Shem Iro. So the Gemara proves from that it's talking about that the Sefer wrote the wrong place where he is. Shina mochem ha-sofer. He changed the place of where the sofer is. Yet Taisus asks, why do we care where the sofer is? Why is that important to us that at dekach it passels the get? And we find all the time that a sofer will write a ksuba while he's in one place and the actual ksuba is given in someplace else entirely. So Taisus answers that the reason we care where the cipher is not because we really care about the location of the cipher. What it means is, since generally the cipher is next to the Edom, that already we care about where the Edom are located. The location of the Edom is an integral part of the Eidos. Therefore, when it says, it's primarily referring to where the Edom are. If you wrote that the Edom were in Mizrach and really they were in Ma'ariv, that can validate the get. Now, if one takes a look at Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Chav Ches and Evan Ezer, the Shulchan Aruch brings a Yesh Oimrim, which is the Shita of the Sefer Trumos, that learns the Mishnah over here literally, not like Taisus, and says that there's a Kepeda that the Sefer write the correct place of his own location. Not like Taisus, where he says, we really don't care where the Sefer is, it's just important to us where the Edom are. The Sefer Trumos says there's a Kepeda also that the Sefer write his exact location. Therefore, the Edom and the Sefer have to be in the same place during the writing of a get. Now, the Taisus Shalom over here asks Akasha on the Gemara in Gittin. How does the Gemara prove that when it says Hayav Mizrach Hakasav B'Mayriv, it's referring to the Mokam of the Sefer or the Mokam of the Edim? Let's say it's also referring to the husband and the wife. It says in the Sefer, Shino Shem Iro Yushem Iro. So we already know that if he writes a mistaken location for the husband and the wife, it passes the get. It could be, over here it's also talking about, he's writing a mistaken location with the husband and the wife, just the Mishnah that says, Shina Shem Iro Yivashem Iro, is referring to the place of residence, where the husband generally lives, where the wife generally lives. If the wife lives generally in Yerushalayim, and he writes that she lives in Beresheva, that's going to invalidate the get. When it says, Hayu B'mizach L'kos of Meir, it was talking about that the husband, Mishas K'sivas HaGet, was in Mizrach, and the Sefer wrote that the husband was in Ma'ariv, but it's referring to the husband's location, B'shas K'sivas HaGet. Say both parts of the Mishnah are talking about the husband and the wife. How do we have a raya? There's a chiyuv to write in the get the proper location of the Sefer and the Edom. So Taisi Shalom says it's pashut that there's no halacha that we write the location of the husband during the Shas K'sivas HaGet. V'haraya, if the case was that we have to write the location of the husband during the actual writing of the get, so Memelu, the Sefer, knows where the husband is. But if a husband is sending a get, Lemdina Sayam, he's sending a get overseas, the Sefer may know where the husband is. How could he possibly know where the wife is? So you see, there's no halacha that we have to refer in the get to where they are, B'shas, the ksiva of the get, when it says that they have to write the location of the husband and wife. It's only their primary place of residence. Now the Gemara answered, the reason it's not a raya that we don't say my havelo lemevad from the fact that she gets the knas over here, even though it's the Sefer's fault, the Gemara says, iboilo likriya gita. She should have taken out the time and read the get herself to make sure that it's actually a valid get. Now the Taisa Shalom over here asks, it's mashma from the Gemara that after the Sefer wrote the get wasn't read, and therefore it's a taina on her. Tzishanim asks, and so does Taisus in Gittin, Daf Yutasam and Beis, the Gemara over there in Gittin says that Omar Ameimar, Meshmeid Ravdimi, Ameimar said in the name of Ravdimi, Hani Beitrei, these two Eidim, Diyav Gita Kamayu, that they gave a get in front of them, Tzrichi Lemikriye, they have to read the get. There's a Mefurisha Gemara that Eidim must read the get before they allow the woman to be considered mutter to marry. And Taisus over there is moichiach that if they don't read it, the get is possible. So why does the Gemara say, Iboilo le kriya gita? She should have read the get, and since they found the psul, the get is possible, even if they didn't find any psul. If they don't read the get, if the Edom don't read the get by the Nesinas HaGet, the get is possible. It's Mefurish Gemara and Gittin Daf Yutes. Taisus Shalom answers that although it's taka psul in the get, if they don't read it, we're not going to give her the din of teitzim mizeh mizeh. Ad kidei kach to be machmer, to say that it's so possible that she has the din of teitzim mizeh mizeh and she gets all the knosses, that far we're not machmer. Therefore, only in our Gemara, where she didn't read it and there was something possible, then we say teitzim mizeh mizeh. But without that, true, the get's possible, he has to give her another get, but we don't say that she gets all the knosses that the Mishnah mentions over here. Another teretz, the Taisus Shalom answers, is it's talking about the Edom did read the get, but they only read the get after the Nesina. They didn't read it beforehand also. It wasn't checked twice. The Katchila, they're supposed to read the get before and after. Over here, they read the get afterwards. Therefore, b'dieved, the Nesina saget is kosher. Only because there was a psul, that's why teitzi mizeh mizeh. However, the Gemara and Gittin is talking about the Eidim didn't read the get at all. If the Eidim don't read the get even one time, there it's puzzle, and according to this teretz, it may be even teitzi mizeh mizeh. The Ritva offers another teretz in the name of Yeshma Farshim, that a Maseches Gittin is talking about that there were no Eidim that signed on the get. The Gemara over there is going according to the Shita Eidei Mesira character. Belozer holds that even without Eidim signed in the get, if there are two Eidim that watch the Nesina Saget, that's enough to make krisis. It's enough to have a kosher get. Over there it's talking about there were no Eidim who actually signed on the get. And therefore, if the Eidim who are watching the Mesira Saget, the Eidim Mesira, don't read the get, it's going to be puzzle. They can't possibly know what's written inside. They can't possibly know there's a krisis unless they read the get. However, over here it's talking about there are Eidim who signed on the get. There are Eidim Chasima. The Eidim who signed know what's written in the get. Therefore, if the Eidim who watch the Sinas HaGet don't read the get, it'll still be Kosher Get. Because the Eidim Chasima know what's going on inside the get. They are just watching the Nesina, but the Eidim Chasima, the ones who signed, are the ones who are considered the Eidim on the get. So therefore, if the get didn't have a psul in it, even if the Eidim who watched the get didn't read it, it won't pass on the get, because there are Eidei Chasima that they can rely on. However, the Ritva says it's not mashma like that in the sugya. It's mashma is going stoma according to both shittas, whether you hold Eidei Chasima karati or Eidei Mesira karati, and therefore the Ritva rejects this teretz. The Gemara then continues to ask from the continuation of the Mishnah, HaKainas HaSivimtai, if a Yobam had two Yivamois fall to him, let's say Leah and Rachel, the Yobam did Yibum on Leah, and her tzara Rachel went ahead and married somebody else, she was allowed to l'chayra. Leah, her tzara, did Yibum. Rachel l'chayra is mutter to marry Lashuk. What happened was, it turned out that Leah was an islandess. Therefore, the Yibum wasn't the proper Yibum. And Rachel marrying somebody is considered a Yivam l'shuk. The Mishnah says, Teitzei mizeh umizeh. She can't stay with the husband that she married. She can't go back to the Yavam. And she gets all the knosses. So the Gemara says, L'chayr, we have a raya from here that we don't say the svar of may have a little mevad, that even though she had a right to rely on the two Eidim, or even though she had a right to rely on Leah's Yibum, that it should be matter her l'shuk, still, Chacham give her the knosses. And we don't say that she's an Einus Gomer, and we don't give her a knas because of that. She had every right to assume that she's allowed to marry Lashuk. She had every right to assume that Leah's Yibum will pater her, and still we give her the knas. Now, the reason she gets the knosses of Teitzei Mizeh Umizeh, B'chol Drachama Eluba, Rashi explains that's going according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds that Chayvei Lavin, it has a chaymer of Chayvei Krisus. It makes Mamzerus like Chayvei Krisus. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva holds that on Chayvei Lavin 2, we give the knosses of Teitzei Mizeh Umizeh, B'chol Drachama Eluba. The Ramban brings Yesh Mefarshim that hold that even according to the Chachamim, with Rabbanon, we give the Yavam L'Shuk the Chaymer of Chayvei Krisus, and the child she has will have a din of Mamzer with Rabbanon. The Ramban, though, rejects this Mahalach of the Yesh Mefarshim, and he goes with Rashi. Then it's only going according to Rabbi Akiva that we say all the Knosses apply to Yavam L'Shuk. Al-Kulpanim, the Gemara wants to bring a Raya that we don't say May Havala Lameh, but we see we give her the Knosses. She had every right to rely on the Yibum of Leah. So the Gemara answer is no. Iboyle Lemtuni. She should have waited. She could have waited to see that Leah is in fact not an islandess. She went ahead and married Lashuk before she verified that fact. Therefore, we don't say Mayavala Lemevad, and therefore she gets all the knosses. However, in a case where it's ironclad, like two Eidim, there may be the Chum do say that she's considered an Einus and might have a little mevada, and she doesn't get the Knosses. Now, Taisa Shonim asks Akasha. The Gemara here says, he boiled a limb tuni. She should have waited to verify that Leah is not an Islandess and her Yibum is a valid Yibum. So when two Edom come, let us say the same thing. That true, she has a right to rely on the two Edom, but she should wait and verify that their Edom is kaka, authentic. Why do we say only by a tsara of a Yavama that did Yibum, and not by a woman who heard Edom from two Edom? And over there we say it's already in this Gomer, Mayav Lalameva. So the text of the Shalom answers, since she's Becheskas Isser, over here, she's out to marry Lashuk. She only wants to be matter herself through the Yibum of Leah, so she has to wait. She's Becheskas Isser, Yiboy Lalem Tuni. However, when two Edom come and say that her husband died, she's not Becheskas Isser, she's Becheskas Heter. And therefore, why should she wait? Therefore, we're going to say, Mayav Lalameva. Now, Ba'ani, I don't understand the Taisus Yishanim's Teres. The Klal is Roiv, women are not islanders. And as far as Rachel is concerned, Medina, she is Mutter Lashok. She can go and rely on the Roiv that Leah is not an islandess. Just as a woman can rely on the Eidless of two Edom, if that makes her to be in a Matzah of a Cheskes Heter, here too, the Roiv that Leah is not an islandess also is enough to make her an Cheskes Heter. Now the Ritva gives another teretz. The Ritva says that we say Yiboylu Lemtuni only when it's a finite amount of time. Over here, by the case of Leah and Rachel, it's not going to be forever. It's not an unlimited amount of time that Rachel will have to wait. Until Leah has a baby that shows that she's not an islandess, or she can wait until she reaches godless of an islandess, where she starts showing simani islandess. That's just a matter of X amount of years. There we say, Yiboylu Lemtuni. However, something that doesn't have a kitzvah, something that's an infinite amount of time, nobody says that the edus of the two edim will be verified within a year, within 2 years, within 10 years. There's no set time that she's going to have to wait until, and then afterwards she'll definitely be mutar aser. In such a case, we'll never say Yiboylu Lemtuni. And the Ritva proves it from the end of the last parak. It says that if a woman had children when her husband died, and then her children died afterwards, we make the Mesim Kechayim, and it's considered that she has children, and there's no Yibum. Why? Because it's not Darkei Noyam, if we say otherwise. If we say that once her children dies, she goes back, she reverts to her Isser Yivam Lashuk, it's not Darkei Noyam. She was once Mutter, and now she becomes Aser. It can't be. If we say that Yiboylu Lemtuni applies even to a case where it's an infinite amount of time, there's no set limit of how long she'll have to wait, so here too, let us say, even if she has children after her husband dies, let her wait, maybe the children will die. Let us say Yiboylu Lemtuni in such a case also. Elama, something that will not for certain come by a finite amount of time, we're never going to say Yiboylu Lemtuni. And that won't be Darkei Noyam. Therefore, when two Edom come and say that her husband died, there's no set time that we'll know for certain that by then we can verify the veracity of the Edos. Therefore, there's no Svara of Yiboylu Lemtuni in such a case. And over there, the Svara of Mayhev Lelemevad, what could she have possibly done, applies Masha Enkein, where by the case of two Yavamas, where it takes only a certain amount of time till she'll know for sure whether her Tsara Leah is an islandess or not. Now the maskara of the Gemara is that we do not say, according to the Chachamim, Mayhev Lelemevad, even if she married Alpi to Edom, she still has all the crosses of Teitzim Zem Mizevachal Drachem O'Elu Ba. Now the Ramah and Evan Ezra at the end of Simon Yud Zayin brings a Tshuva Sarashba. The Tshuva Sarashba writes that if a woman married Shalei Kadin, not based on the Eid Echod, or two Edom. Rather, she married being forced by the Tsar, or Bezdin made a toast and said that her Kedushin wasn't a Kedushin. In such a case, we don't say that she gets the Knossos, we don't say Teitzim Mizem Mized, she can actually return to her first husband. The Rashi brings a raya from Michal Bas Shaul. Michal Bas Shaul was Mekudeshes to David. The Bezdin of Shaul made a mistake and said that she's not Mekudeshes to David, and therefore she's mutter to marry Palti ben Laish. And afterwards, David took her back. The Rashba explains why. Aye, she married Palti ben Laish when she was an Eishes Ishta David. The Rashba says, since she was an Onus, either by Shaul's force, Shaul was the king, or because his Bezdin made a mistake, in such a case, she's considered an Onus Gomer, and therefore, she's allowed to go back to her first husband. Now, Taz, over there, asks a kasha on this. First of all, he asks, how could a tzibur ever bring a carbon based on what Bezdin paskind, if Bezdin was mistaken, they're an Onus? If the Rashba holds that somebody who does Al-Pi Hayras Bezdin is considered an Onus, why would the people have to bring a carbon when Bezdin made a mistake? Secondly, the Taz asks, and the Beis Shmuel also brings this kasha, L'chayra, the Rashba is in direct contradiction with our sugya. Our sugya is mefurish, that a woman relied on two Edom, she had every right to. The Torah says, mefurish, a person can rely on two Edom for anything. Yet we say she'll still ask her to go back to her first husband. It's not considered an Einus Gomer and she's mutter to her first husband. Rather we say, Teitzu Mizeh Mizeh. How could a psak of Bezdin, where Bezdin made a mistake and said that she's mutter to marry, be any better than two Edim? If anything, two Edim is more of an Einus than a mistake of a Bezdin. Where Bezdin made a mistake, theoretically, she can go and ask somebody else. Bezdin can reconsider. When two Edom say something, the Torah says, Al-Pi Shnayim Edom Yakum Dov. Therefore, the Taz argues on the Ramah. He says, you cannot be Samech on this Shuvah Rashba. If Bezdin made a mistake and allowed her to marry somebody else, and the Psak was a Tos, she may not return to her first husband. It cannot be any better than if two Edom were made, and it turned out that they were making a mistake. Now, the Pesach Tshuva brings a Shuvah Yaakov that qualifies the Rashba's tshuva. It doesn't mean stam if a Bezdin made a mistake, it's considered an oinus and she can go back to her first husband. It's only if it's Bezdin Agodol. Shaul's Bezdin was the top Bezdin in Klal Yisrael. There's no appealing, there's no asking anybody else to make the Bezdin reconsider their psak. There's no questioning the psak of a Bezdin Agodol. Therefore, in such a case alone, is the Rashba matter her to return to her first husband. However, if a regular Bezdin passes something and it's a mistake, and she marries somebody else based on that mistake, of course, she may not return to her first husband. And therefore, the Shvus Yaakov also argues on the Ramah, where the Ramah doesn't make a difference between Bezdin HaGadol or any other Bezdin. The Ramah is matter across the board, that if somebody married Al-Pi a mistake of a psak in Bezdin, she may return to her first husband. The Taz, as we saw from our sugya, and the Shvus Yaakov disagree with this Ramah. Now the Karen Oira had a Havamina to answer the Taz's Kasha by being mechalik between our Gemara and the case of the Ramah. Our Gemara, the woman has a cheskas iser. She's becheskas eishes ish. Therefore, we're not going to say the svara of my hevel olamevad. However, in the case of the Ramah, where Bezin says that she was never mekudeshes in the first place, they're saying she is becheskas penuya, and therefore she can marry somebody else. Over there, we're not going to say she should be more medayik. Rather, we'll say my havelol mevad. That's how the Karen Oira had a havamina to answer the Taz's kasha on the Ramah. However, he says we can't say that. There is no difference whether one is becheskas isur or one is becheskas heter regarding the halacha of my havelol mevad v'horaya. By the case of the Leah and Rachel, where Rachel went ahead and married the Shuk after Leah did Yibum, and it turned out that Leah actually was an islandess, over there, Rachel was Becheskas Heter. She had every right to assume that she may marry the Shuk. She's Becheskas Heter the Shuk. Leah did Yibum. As far as we're concerned, we go Basaroiv, Leah is not an islandess. And yet, we still say over there, we don't say the Svar of Mayhev Lulamevad, even though she had a Cheskas Heter. We see that we don't say the Svar of Mayhev Lulamevad, and she's Teitzei Mizeh Mizeh, she cannot go back to her first husband, even in the case where the suffix arose when she's Becheskas Heter. Incidentally, we see from the Karen Oira's understanding that by the case of the two tzaris where Leah made Yibum and Rachel was Noisa L'Shuk, and then Leah was proven to be an islandess, that's called a Cheskas Heter for Rachel. We mentioned before the Tosfos Shanim that understands that only over there do we say Boilo Lemetune and not in the case of two Edim, because by the case of the two Yevamos, she is becheskas iser. And we asked them that, why is she becheskas iser? At that point, where Leah did Yibum, she should be becheskas heter. We see the Karen Oyer Mufurish says that in that case she's becheskas heter, as we asked on the Tosfos Yeshanim. Now the Karen Oyer understands the sugya that Chazal Mesaken any way that a woman married while she is still married to her first husband, whether it was based on a toas of Gerushin or a toas of Misa, if the toas is based on one aid or two aidim, in any case, Chazal say she doesn't have a din of an oinus, she has a din of a mezid, and therefore Teitzim Mizeh, we cancel her. Just the Karen Oyer asks, the Mela, we cancel her and we give her a din of a mezid, but why does she have to bring a carbon? In the Mishnah it says Mefurish that she has to bring a carbon chatas for being over the Isser Veishas Ish. L'chayr, she's an Einus Gomer. Minatayr, she definitely should be an Einus. Just like if a man was Miyabim, a woman, after 3 months of waiting, after the death of her first husband, and it wasn't Hukar Ubra, we could not see that she was pregnant. Elamais, it turned out she was really, yes, pregnant from her first husband, and he was Pagei Beishas Achav Shleba Maka Mitzvah, they're potter from a carbon, because it's considered an Einus. If a man is Baal Ishtai, not by the Zman of the Veset, and she was Roy Adam, she became an Ida during the Tashmish, he's not Chayiv in a carbon, he's considered an Einus. Why do we say, over here in the Mishnah, that if she married based on two Eidim, she has to bring a carbon? Teitzei v'chayevus b'carbon. Why does she have to bring a carbon? She's an Einus Gomer. And more than that, even according to Reb Shimon, who holds that by two Eidim we say may have a little mevad, and she doesn't get the knossos and she may return to her first husband, even Reb Shimon holds that she brings a carbon. As Ravina explains on the top of the Amud, that if she married based on Eidim, it's considered kishigas ish b'isha, masi carbon. It's considered as if a man is b'yol ish zish b'shaygig, and they have to bring a carbon. How could that be that she relied on Eidim? L'chayr she should be known as Gomer, and Reb Shimon himself, who allows her to return to her first husband, still says she has to bring a carbon. So the Karen Oyer says he cited a tremendous chiddush that there really is no p'tur of einus by carbon. The only time we find the p'tur of einus by carbon is only when he was doing a ma'isa mitzvah. He bases that on a Rambam in Hilchos Shagagos. Now, from the last Rashi in the Mishnah on Pezayin and Beis, we see clearly that Rashi doesn't hold like that. Rashi says that if she married based on the eidus of the eidim, she brings a carbon, she's a shaygig, and it's not an einus to patur from carbon, because iboyu l'limtuni, she should have waited. So you see, Rashi learns if there wasn't the svar of iboyu l'limtuni that she should have waited, she would be considered an einus and she'd be patur from a carbon even while she's not being Isaac in a mitzvah. Now, the Rashi we mentioned just now is also very shver, as the Karen Oyer asks. Rashi says the reason she's chayv in a carbon is because she should have waited. In our sugya, the maskana is that even without a svara of Iboilolim Tune, we still say, we don't say the svara of Mayhevelolim Eva. That's the machloikis and Mayroim that the Gemara mentions. And the Gemara's maskana is that we don't say Mayhevelolim Eva. So why does Rashi tell me the reason she's chayiv in a korban is because Iboilolim Tune, she should have waited? Otherwise, we'd say Mayhevelolim Eva and she'd be potter. Our maskana is we don't say Mayhevelolim Eva. So even if there wasn't the svar of Yiboyla Limtuni, she shouldn't have waited. She'd still be chayiv in a carbon. Rashi L'chayra is not going according to the maskon of the sugya. It's maybe possible to answer Rashi that when Rashi says over there Yiboyla Limtuni, she should have waited, he doesn't mean the Yiboyla Limtuni of our sugya. And therefore, she did something wrong, she should have waited, and there's an element of pshia, and therefore she has to bring a carbon. The Gemara that says Iboila and Tuni, the way the Ritva explains, is only if there is a finite amount of time for her to wait. And since it's a set amount of time, we would expect her to wait. Something that doesn't have a finite amount of time, of course there'd be no svara of Iboila and Tuni. She'd definitely be mutter to marry. On the other hand, in a case of Oinus Gomer, like the Chuvas HaRashba that we mentioned, if she's mamish and Oinus at the ultimate level, she's definitely potter from a carbon, as there's nothing she could have done differently. So to summarize, there are really three madregas that come out of the sugya. There is the lowest madrega of Hevel Olam Tuni, that that she should have waited, as we find in our sugya by an islandess. True, was mutter for her to marry, but she could have waited, and she should have waited. It's only a finite amount of time. The Svara says that in such a case, she should have waited. Therefore, she gets all the knosses, and we don't say, and she has to bring a carbon. Then there's a case of our Mishnah where she relied on two Eidim. We can't say that she should wait till forever. There's an infinite amount of time that it may take for her to prove the correctness or incorrectness of what the Eidim were made. Therefore, there's no svara iboyla lim tune. Still, we don't say mayavel lo mevad. It was theoretically possible for her not to do this aveira. We're not going to say mayavel lo mevad. We don't say that svara. That's the middle darga that the Gemara is talking about. And the Gemara says that in such a case, we do cancel her. She does have to bring a carbon. There's a third darga, like the Rashba's case, where she's forced, or a psak of Bezdin HaGodol, the way the Shavus Yaakov explains, or a regular Bezdin, but Al Kopanim, she has no other way to turn. That's the ultimate in Aynas Gomer. In such a case, she may return to her husband. In such a case, she'll be putter from a carbon. When Rashi is saying that she brings a carbon and she's not an Aynas because he boil lelem tuni, he doesn't mean he boil lelem tuni of the same Madrega as Rachel and Leah, where Rachel could have waited and she should have waited. He means it's Iboil Olam Tune, that it was possible for her to wait. Since it's possible for her to wait, even though she doesn't have to, the svar is that L'Katchila, she can go ahead and marry based on the two Eidim. There's no finite amount of time, but since Al Kolpanim, it's theoretically possible, in such a case, we don't say Mayav Olam Evad, and she brings a carbon. Rashi is just coming to say that La'afuke, the Darga of Aynis that the Rashba was talking about. It's the ultimate Darga of Aynis where there's nothing she could have possibly done differently. If Shaul Forster, if the Bezna Agodol paskins that she can and should marry Palti Ben Laish, such an Aynis, there's no class of Teitzim Mizem Mizes. Such a case will be considered an Aynis Gomor that she doesn't bring a carbon. When Rashi says Yiboyle Lamtuni, he's not referring to the Yiboyle Lamtuni of Ar Sugya that makes her a slight Pesheya. There really is no pshia in this case where she didn't wait. There's no finite amount of time. Of course, we don't tell her to wait. But since it's not an oynas gomer she'ein lamala mimenu, it's not the ultimate in oynas, like the case of Michal Bashol, she'll be chayiv. Rashi is just saying, it's not the same madrega as oynas of Michal Bashol. It's a lower madrega because it's possible to avoid doing the aveira by waiting, even though it's an infinite amount of time. But since it's possible, she's not considered an Aynas Gomer, a super Aynas, which would pat her from a carbon, therefore she has to bring a carbon.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.